And welcome to the Week Junior Show. We have got an amazing episode for you today because this week we'll be discovering how making connections can be good for your health. We're revealing how a pair of micro pigs were rescued from a lamppost. We're going to be finding out what life is really like when it's a bone-chilling minus 53 degrees. Yeah, you heard me. And we'll be hearing from a 9-year-old award-winning podcaster. So to hear all about these stories and a little bit more, we're joined by two of the team from the magazine. We've got Deputy Editor Rahul and Week Junior Wonder Writer Eve. So to kickstart the show, we've got, of course, the question of the week, as we do every week. And today we're talking about playground crazes. So in this week's magazine, you can read about a 3-day Rubik's Cube contest that took place in Glasgow up in Scotland. If you don't know, Rubik's Cube is a kind of, it's a puzzle. It's a cube and it's got different colours on the side and you have to kind of match all of the colours together. And it's quite tricky. I've tried it many a time and can never ever do it. So I'm interested to see if our contributors can. So Rahul, this week, I wanted to know, can you do a Rubik's Cube? And what was your playground craze?
Well, I'm an 80s kid, so I remember the 80s Rubik's Cube craze, and I still can't do one. I can't get my head around it. But for me, the craze of my playground days were Panini football stickers. So I can vividly remember saving up my pocket money, going to the newsagent, getting sticker packs, and then standing in the playground, swapping them, and then for the Qatar World Cup, which just took place last year, my little boy got a Panini sticker book, football sticker book, and I have to say I was a bit jealous.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all on that one. Eve, how about you?
I do not have a long enough attention span to want to solve a Rubik's Cube. I've kind of tried a couple of times and then after about 5 minutes thought, no thanks. But the craze on my playground was these things called crazy bones. They're like little plastic figurines and you get them in loads of different colours and they look like little monsters or creatures. And you kind of collect them and then you play games with them. So I remember playing a game where you would line up all of yours and then you would flick one of yours at someone sitting opposite you, and if you knocked over someone else's, you got to keep the ones you knocked over, which is kind of tragic because, you know, I was very particular about the ones I liked, and then when someone said, oh, I knocked yours over, it was kind of sad. And they were in this little blue bag, and when you kind of rattled it, it sounded like, you know, like when you have Scrabble tiles in the little green bag. It sounded like that. It was a really satisfying little plastic noise, and yeah, they were just really cool.
I remember both of the fads you've talked about. So I was gonna say football stickers as well. That was something that my school went mad for. We collected them. Also Tamagotchis was really big at school, and then of course we got banned from bringing them in. And yeah, I do remember crazy bones as well. So I feel like maybe I've been on the playground for like 40 50 60 years just remembering every possible fad. I don't know. So let's get on to the cover story this week. Now it's a one that we reckon all of our readers will be able to connect with. So Rahul, can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, our cover this week has the words "Let's Connect" in big, bold yellow letters, and it has two children shaking hands. And the story is about Children's Mental Health Week, which features on our wellbeing page. Children's Mental Health Week comes up in early February, and this year's theme is about making connections. So that's relationships you might have with friends, families, neighbours, people that you do activities with, or people at school, and how these connections and being in touch with other people is good for you. It's good for your health, gives you energy, gives you support, and the feature itself has lots of top tips on how to go about making connections. Some of the tips include saying hi to a neighbour, perhaps phoning a friend, sending a friend a message or a funny video, or inviting people over for games night or a movie night. So there's some really nice ideas for how to make connections and also how to grow and develop those connections once you've made them. We also spoke to the charity behind Children's Mental Health Week, which is a charity called Place to Be, and they also highlighted that some people feel connected or make good connections with their pets or with nature. So there's sort of more than one way of making connections. It's with people, it can be with pets, it can be in nature. So it's a really nice story with lots of nice ideas and tips for growing relationships.
Oh, I think that's so lovely because I think connecting with people kind of grounds you a lot, but it also makes you feel less lonely. And it's nice to know you've got friends and people to support you and you can support other people. I think that's such a good story. And Rahul, I guess connecting can make such a big difference in everybody's mental health, right?
You're absolutely right, Bex. Research has shown that good social connections and good relationships really help in combat loneliness and can actually help you live a longer life.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that. Wow, okay. Lovely stuff. Well, thank you for telling us all about that, Rahul. Now it's time for real or rubbish. This is when I get told a story, but somebody is trying to trick me. I have to guess whether it's true or false. Eve, I believe it's your turn this week to try and confuse me.
It is indeed. Mm. So my first question before I launch into it is, do you like cheese, Bex?
I love cheese a lot, Eve.
Well, I have a brilliant story for
oh,
you.
No. Oh, no.
So there's that saying that eating cheese before bed gives you nightmares. And so a group of scientists are actually doing an experiment to test this out. So people who take part will be paid £800 to eat cheese before they go to bed. And so the experiment lasts for 3 months. And so the testers have to take notes about their dreams, how well they slept, and how they feel during the day afterwards. Because scientists want to find out how different cheeses may have different effects on sleep or cause different types of dreams. So, you know, maybe cheddar will give you a nightmare about spiders, and brie will give you a nightmare about monsters under the bed or something like that. So what do you think, Bex? Does this great experiment about cheese sound like the truth, or is it unbelievable?
Oh my goodness. It's reminded me of that pun, sweet dreams are made of cheese, who am I to disagree? right, okay. Rahul's just like shaking his head like, absolutely not. which is fair, that's the fair response. Right, okay, I've got a lot of questions here. First of all, Eve, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't think you'd need to pay me £800 to eat cheese before bed at night. I think I do that anyway. Although if somebody was to pay me for it, I'd be like, sweet, happy days, I'm being paid for the thing I do anyway. Secondly, I mean, this is a bizarre thing to search, but also it is one of those myths that we all have heard about, that if you eat cheese before bed, it can make a difference. So maybe they're just finally doing the research that we've all needed to confirm it either way. The other thing, of course, is that people would have to reveal their dreams, which are their deepest, darkest secrets they maybe didn't know they had. That's quite tricky as well, right? I mean, that seems quite a brave thing for people to open up about.
Yeah, that's true. You know, if one of your worst nightmares is perhaps doing a speech in front of your class and you've only got your pants on or something, You might not want to share that with your scientists because maybe that's too embarrassing.
And you'll say, oh, it was the cheddar that made me dream about it, when really it's something that you're secretly dreading and you didn't want to admit. I do feel like this research needs to be done. Normally, when you give me this kind of story, I'm like, what ridiculous research. I can't believe science is doing this. But actually, I'm like, yeah, finally science is doing something important.
Yeah, because then as well, when people say, oh, you shouldn't eat cheese before you go to bed, you can actually say, and here is a scientific paper that backs up what I'm saying. And so it will actually stop people from doing it.
Yeah, either that or you can be like, actually, I think you're wrong, and here is why. I think my problem with this one is I want it to be true. I think that's why I've convinced myself it could be a good one. But I'll have to try and have a little think about it. And also, let's face it, just try and think of some more brie puns to kind of match you, Eve. If you want to get involved, it's very, very easy indeed. All you got to do is head to funkidslive.com/theweekjunior and look for that big red button, a little bit like William did from Leon C.
Hello, Week Junior. I love reading your magazine and also listening to the podcast every night.
Wow, William is a dedicated Week Junior fan, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Eve, do you have anything else in the Week Junior inbox?
Yeah, so we actually had a message from Woody from Bristol, and he's a bit of an expert on the underground. So he really enjoyed our double page all about the underground. And during lockdown, he even learned how to draw the tube map from memory.
I mean, oh, are we sure about this? He didn't Google it. He didn't get the old tube map out and trace it.
No, he knows all 272 stations.
That's incredible. I think I'd like to be his friend because, as I mentioned on that podcast, I love the tube line and trains. I'm quite geeky about it. So, yeah, I think me and Woody could be pals. Now, of course, if you do want to get in touch, remember, there's loads of ways that you can reach us. You could email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk, or you could leave us a voice note at funkidslive.com/theweekjunior and just look for that big red button. Then grab a grown-up, record your voice, and, well, you could be in next week's show. You could be the star of the show, in fact. Now, from tube trains to top twos, it's time for our top two stories of the week. Rahul, what was your must read from the magazine this week?
Well, if you've been feeling cold this winter, then spare a thought for people in northern China. We've got a story on our Around the World section, which is a whistle-stop tour of news stories around the world. And in northern China, some of the lowest temperatures ever recorded have been reached. Temperatures have plummeted to minus 53 degrees Celsius.
Oh.
So, yes, if you feel like you've been cold in the UK, then spare a thought for these guys. And it's also there's also cold weather affecting most of East Asia. So there's also heavy snowfall in South Korea. And this kind of extreme weather is becoming more frequent in the region, as it is in lots of places.
Oh, my goodness. Sending lots of warm thoughts out there, because that even now, just hearing about it, I'm feeling a little bit chilly. Eve, what was your pick of the week?
There's two very cute little micro pigs that have just been given a brand new home. So they'd sadly been abandoned, but someone driving down the road spotted them and took them in to the Lord Whiskey Sanctuary Fund, which is an animal sanctuary in Kent. And the animal sanctuary has actually been open for 38 years, and it was the first time anyone had ever brought micro pigs in. And so the sanctuary wanted to find a nice home for these pigs so that they could be looked after properly. And they've luckily managed to find a home, and they've been given names. They're called Dawny and Dixie, and they're the cutest little micro pigs, and they're being sent off to a lovely new home.
Dawny and Dixie, I love that. I mean, I do find micro pigs very cute. So that's a lovely story. I'm very thrilled to hear that. Well done to Dawny and Dixie. There's another story this week that really caught my eye. As a radio presenter, of course, I spotted this story immediately. It's all about 9-year-old Jack Andrews, who's just won an award for his own podcast. It's called Jack to the Future. Now, what a brilliant title. Immediately, I'm in. And Jack recorded a little shout out for us, so let's give it a listen.
Hi, Week Junior listeners. I'm Jack. I'm 9, and I'm the host of a podcast called Jack to the Future. Read about my story on page 9 of the Week Junior. My advice to anyone who wants to start a podcast is never give up, work really, really hard, and be enthusiastic when talking to your listeners.
Lovely stuff. Well done to Jack. So it's time for the big debate. And of course, if you've walked into any corner shop recently, you might have noticed that a new drink with a rather brightly coloured label has been behind the counter. Now, the drink is called Prime. It's made the headline news recently because it's become like the biggest must-have item to have. And I'm pretty sure it was brought out by two very famous online influencers. You've got rapper KSI and Logan Paul. So they created so much hype around this that people have been queuing up to try and buy a bottle. And demand has grown, but so has the price. It should cost around £2, but in some places they're selling it for £20, which is quite a lot, I would say. So the question is it okay for shops to raise prices? We've got Eve versus Rahul arguing on this one. Guys, you know the deal by now. You've both got a minute on the clock. I, of course, will get up my little timer here as well, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. So Eve, I'm gonna let you go first, if that's okay. And you're going to tell me why it's okay to raise prices. So whenever you're ready, take it away.
So business owners need to make money somehow. And so if they're increasing the prices of products that are super popular at the moment, you know, like those popping fidget toys or something, then it's a really simple way to make money, you know, easy money. If business owners can do it, then why shouldn't they? Because running a business, there are a lot of costs that are involved in running a business. You've got to pay for the products that you're selling, got to pay for bills, delivery costs, and pay the people who work for you. So got to cover those costs. But also, shops don't always put their prices up. Sometimes supermarkets will actually lower the prices, so they'll make it lower than the recommended price. And that's a really good way to draw customers in, because it's good for the customer, and then they'll come in, they'll see all that item's cheaper, and then maybe while they're there, they'll see a few other items and they'll buy those as well. So it's actually a great business tactic. And so shops should be able to set their own prices.
Oh, lovely stuff. Just under that minute there.
Nearly ran out of time there.
I was a little bit worried for you, Eve, but you pulled it back.
I had to rush at the end.
Yeah, that was all good though. But Rahul, what do you say to this? Whenever you're ready, take it away.
Okay, here we go. So it's not okay for shops to raise prices. It's not fair for customers to pay different prices depending on where they go. How are they supposed to know in advance how much it's going to cost? In the pandemic, one shop was found to be selling a packet of 4 loo rolls for £16. Is that okay? That's really not okay. Another shop's been found to be selling the Prime drink for £100 a bottle. Surely that's not okay. You know, this is taking advantage of customers. You're ripping them off. And in terms of the shop, they could actually be losing their customers. You know, a customer needs to feel good about what they're doing, about the money they're spending. So you're risking losing customers. The people that make the products don't benefit. The customer loses. Ultimately, it's selfish.
Oh my goodness, Rahul. I mean, you heard a gasp from me in your argument there. £16 for toilet roll? Oh my goodness, that's far too much money for toilet roll. All right, well, guys, thank you very much for your big debate there. But of course, if you're listening and you've got an opinion, you've probably got to tell us it, right? You could go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls or record a voice note at funkidslive.com/theweekjunior. Just hit that big red button and tell us what you think this week. Now, last week, our big debate was all about Easter and Easter eggs being in the shops right now. So we wanted to know, should Easter eggs be on sale in January? And Rahul, I believe you've been crunching the numbers.
Yes, I've been crunching the numbers. And this week we had 642 votes. Nearly 3 in 4 of our voters said that, no, it's not okay to be selling Easter eggs in January.
I'm genuinely quite surprised by that. That has shocked me. But there we go. The listeners have had the final say. Eve, what else have we heard about this from our listeners and readers?
We've had emails and voicemails about this one. So earlier we were left a voicemail by Matilda.
Hi, my name's Matilda. For the Easter egg debate, I think both, because if you want a certain type of chocolate and it sells out quickly, you would want to get it as soon as possible. However, I think chocolate eggs make Easter feel special, so just keep it for Easter. Bye!
And we've also got some emails as well. So one person said, yes, Easter eggs should be on sale anytime, not necessarily branded as Easter eggs, but I think they should be on sale more times throughout the year. That's just an excuse to eat more chocolate, basically. And someone else said, no, because the Easter eggs will probably have melted by Easter, which is a really good thought, actually.
I mean, that's optimistic that you wouldn't have eaten them by the time Easter.
Yes, that's true, actually.
If I'm buying an Easter egg in January, I'm eating that Easter egg in January, I'll tell you that. But of course, tell us your points of view on this week's debate all about raising prices. Go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls and make your opinion count. Now, before we go, we've got to rewind back to earlier in the show with the real or rubbish. Eve, can you remind me of that story, please?
So this is the experiment that scientists are doing where they're paying people £800 to eat cheese just before they go to bed and make notes about whether or not it's giving them nightmares, if it's affected the way they sleep and just their day-to-day life. And they've got to do it for 3 months.
3 months is a long time, isn't it, to do that for, to eat cheese and remember your dreams?
Would you even like cheese by the end of it?
I mean, I do eat cheese every day, so I'm pretty sure to me it'd be fine if I did it. First of all, in my head, I've just got like 1,000 cheese jokes right now, but I won't tell them. I'll just get to the point of it. I believe that science is finally doing something good, if this is real. I believe at last we are getting to the heart of the issues that affect me. And that's what I need. And I really would like to take part in this study. So if the scientists are listening and if this is true, please get in touch. So because I think I want this to be true more than anything else, I'm going to say this story is real. Yeah.
Okay, final answer.
Final answer, yeah.
Okay, drum roll, please. It is real.
Yes!
Yeah. So researchers at this company called Sleep Junkies are really testing cheese before bed to see if it does give bad dreams. And it's starting in March. So, Bex, there's still time for you to enter if you're interested.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll pay for my cheese bill. That's the only problem. I don't want to have to afford it, but I do want them to pay for my cheese. Reckon they will?
Yeah, I'm wondering, is the £800 on top of, do they supply the cheese?
I hope so.
I'd hope they supply the cheese, because cheese is pretty expensive.
It is.
So,
oh, yeah. Imagine getting like a cheeky cheese on toast before bed and like maybe some halloumi, an excuse to eat a pizza, because you can be like, oh, I've got a 4-cheese pizza to eat and it's for science. I have to do it, you know?
Oh, just be so good. Cheese and crackers.
Oh my goodness.
A block of feta, you know, get it all.
A whole block of feta before bed. No, I feel like that probably would affect you. Right, well, before I go and sign up for this, let's face it, incredible opportunity, I've got to say thank you so much for listening to the Week Junior Show this week. And big thank you to Rahul and Eve. Of course, don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you're listening to this podcast. And tune into next week's show, where we'll be joined by some new guests and we'll get loads more new stories as well. See you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get 6 free issues of The Week Junior or 3 issues of The Week Junior Science and Nature for £5 by heading to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast offer.